by the Ocean, DNCE. You're listening to, I think that's it.
I think they're just called Dance.
DNCE. Yeah.
Is short for Dance.
No, no, but they don't call themselves
they
Dance.
They should do, though.
They should do, they don't. Good morning. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. We are your Sunday breakfast team, Squabblebox, and we're going to be with you until 10 a.m. And it's a very special episode, as it's Easter Sunday. Now, woo! Some may think that we've got something special planned. Well, no, you think wrong. We're here until 10 a.m. and we are going to be chatting about Easter Sunday as the show goes on. But Maisie, first of all, how are you this morning?
I'm very good this morning.
That's good.
How are you?
I'm doing good as well.
You're making weird noises today.
Am I?
Did you not hear the way you just said good?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Good.
Is that the normal human way of doing it?
Maybe I've been watching Bruce Almighty. It's good.
Oh, no, stop.
Wow, that's
stop
such
now.
An out-of-date reference.
That is a really out-of-date reference.
Anyway, back to 2017. Yesterday, Maisie, myself, Chris Clarkson, who is also a breakfast presenter here on Siren FM, as well as many other shows, and our assistant manager, Siren boss Ryan Jones, went down to Horncastle on a bit of a Siren road trip. Now, did I tell you about this?
No, and why was I not invited?
Well, it was very secretive. We had a very big job on our hands. It was a very, very secret interview. We went over to Horncastle to go and do a feature on some allotments. And
I'm offended. I love allotments.
It was very fun. You meet some cracking people when you're around allotments, but
I come from allotment people.
So do I. I mean, I didn't want to turn around and go, well, I've dug up my mum's allotment before whilst we had potatoes, because I thought if I'm there, if I tell them that I've been on an allotment before, they might get me to do some digging or something.
That's pretty much all an allotment is. Like, from my perspective, all I ever see my dad do at his allotment is dig and then sit around and drink tea.
But it was really interesting. We got over an hour's worth of material from them, and we're hoping to... there will be something going out tomorrow breakfast, Monday Ooh. Breakfast, a little snippet at least, and there may even be a full programme. We're not entirely sure yet, but it was very fun. Thank you to the people of Horncastle Community Allotments, and you'll hear more about that as the week goes on with some of the breakfast shows.
Sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was quite fun. It's a long way. It's a long way.
I was
going to
say,
Castle.
Like, that's a trek.
The thing that we found was
you did drive, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
no, we walked. The thing that we found though was that getting back into Lincoln is the hardest part.
Yeah.
I say that sat in the back seat of our assistant manager's car. You know, it was so hard for me to get back into Lincoln.
But that's the thing. Driving in Lincoln, like, I do not envy anyone who has to drive in Lincoln.
No.
Which is one of the main reasons why I've never learned how to drive while I've been here.
We actually had to go, because when you're coming down from Rugby Road, we had to go like round the back of, well, by the Tesco Express on Rugby Road, and then we came down and ended up on, what's that one that's coming down behind you, Maisie? Right behind you, there is a road. And I know people at home, this is awful.
Past the Brayford.
Yeah, past the Brayford. And if you're going up towards, I can't remember what it's called, not Carholme Road, the next one.
The one that connects into Carholme Road. This is fascinating for people who don't live in Lincoln.
But this is mainly Lincoln radio, so, you know, there's people at home going, it's this name. I'll find out.
Someone will probably tell us.
But we had to go up and down and end up on Carholme Road to just try and beat off all the traffic and... Yeah, it takes a while to get around, but it's a great segue into our Can You Believe That for this morning, and that is, can you believe that the driving tests have changed?
Of course they have.
Yay! Aren't we all happy about that? But one of the reasons why we think it's great that we bring it up is neither of us are qualified drivers.
No, this applies to us greatly.
Have you ever taken a driving test?
I have
a driving lesson?
I have never taken a driving lesson. I have never had a provisional license.
I'm in exactly the same boat.
Yeah, me and you just, we like being chauffeured everywhere.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with my girlfriend earlier this week because we mentioned, I mentioned, like, because I'm terrified of driving. I'm petrified.
No, it's too much responsibility for some people. It's, if you know that you can't handle it, then you shouldn't force yourself to.
I've been saying that I was like, no, I'm never going to drive. I've just made that decision now. I'm never going to drive.
That's my mum's decision. It's like when she was 17, she got all of the lessons and realised quite quickly that she couldn't handle the responsibility of being in a machine that could hurt herself and everyone literally outside of that.
The problem is that my girlfriend also wants to, also doesn't want to drive.
Okay, so that's going to be an issue.
So we had the conversation about it, and I was like, well, I don't want to learn how to drive. And she said, well, I don't want to learn how to drive. And then she said, well, one of us, if we have kids one day, one of us is going to have to learn how to drive. And I went, well, that solves the issue then. You do it.
Oh.
And that didn't go down well.
I can imagine. Well done her for not putting up with that.
She said, I'm not going to do all the driving. So somehow we've worked it out. So somehow from it being, well, one of us is going to learn how to drive, it's worked out that probably both of us are going to have to learn how to drive.
I feel like that's the only way to keep it fair in that situation.
Yeah, well, we got a little bit more time left before we have to force ourselves.
I was going to say, you're looking very far ahead. You've only just turned 20.
Exactly. The good thing that I have on my side is that I don't have any money. I don't have any money.
That's not a good thing.
Oh, it's brilliant in this situation. I have nil pois, no money, so I have an excuse now to not drive.
You know that nil pois means no points.
Well, nil. I have nil then. Nil pois. It sounded French, so I thought, let's go with it.
It is French. It's a tennis term.
Oh, well. I used to play tennis. Does that make me qualified?
No, that doesn't mean that you can start using phrases wrong.
I do it with wrestling.
I know you do, and I hate it.
So, for people who are unaware of the new the new rules for driving test, it's completely being overhauled. This is according to BBC News. Ministers have announced four changes to the current test, which will come into force on the 4th of December. Drivers will be expected to answer vehicle safety questions whilst on the move and complete 20 minutes of independent driving rather than 10. They'll also need to know how to not only set up but follow a sat-nav.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But a lot of cars are
built
now
in, yeah.
Having built-in sat-nav, so I can completely see why.
Now, the one thing that does kind of put me off there is the doing the test while you're in the car.
Right, yes.
That's actively creating distraction.
I think they're more saying if you're coming up to a bend, they will go, actually, I can see what you're saying.
Because that isn't, like, obviously extending the amount of time you have to be on the road for, extending, sort of like maybe even extending the types of questions I get, but making an active distraction in the car, although I can see that, like, yes, it can, like, that happens when you're driving, you will get distracted, and it's probably best that they sort of teach you how to not be distracted or to keep a calm head. But while you're in a test situation, I can't imagine that helping.
Yeah, I can totally see what you mean there. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've thought this through. I'm pretty sure they've gone...
Oh, obviously.
They haven't got to this point and gone, oh, no, we hadn't thought about that distraction.
Yeah, I mean, as well as that, like, it's not nearly as drastic as the French method.
Yes.
In the French rules in France for driving are... Like, we would consider them insane, but for the most part, they make a lot of sense. Like, you have to have your own breathalyzer in the car, and you have to test yourself before you drive.
Oh.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So that way you know whether or not you're safe.
That's a really good idea, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know why
you can
just
buy breathalyzers in France at, like, gas stations. It's great. As well as that, like, when you do a car test, when you do your, not car test, when you do your driving test... You also have to do, like, a psychiatric evaluation. I don't know if this is still the case, but it was, like, many years ago, where it basically whether or not you are fit to be driving a car in the mental state that you are in while you're taking the test. So it's basically like to make sure that no one on the road has any sort of issues that could cause them to be distracted and maybe veer off the road.
Oh, that's really interesting. One of the things that the new test is doing as well is they are replacing maneuvers which used to be something which was seen as necessary in a driving test, but now isn't really seen as necessary. For example, reversing around a corner.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone reverse around a corner.
Well, that is gone now. We will never have to do that on a driving test. To which someone told me the other day when I was chatting to them, I mentioned that and they went, oh, that was the bit that I enjoyed.
The dangerous bit.
Apparently so. But I don't know, there's something about doing a... Because driving tests are something which is incredibly... It's incredible in the fact that when you're learning and when you're learning how to drive, you just do it on the roads with everyone else.
Yeah.
Now, there's no other occupation. Like, if you did this for an occupation, you don't just go, well, you know what, you want to be a heart surgeon, so we're going to have you do something to that person.
Yeah,
like,
but you get a
surge that person's heart.
Okay, you've picked one example. You still get, like, apprentice builders and plumbers.
Yeah.
Like, some people do just learn on the job.
Well, yeah, that's actually a good point. But I don't know, it just feels weird that you do it on the road.
Yeah, like, I think what you mean is, like, you don't do other exams that practically.
Yeah.
Like, apart from, like, drama and media aside, like, you don't turn up first day of class and, like, expect to write all of Shakespeare's works, you know? It's a weird kind of system, but it's the only way you can learn.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'd have to make so many, like, privatized courses.
Yeah, I guess I'm...
Which is the kind of thing you see in, like, American high school dramas. It's like they have, like, driver's ed class. Is that actually a thing?
I'm not sure.
Can we look that up?
We will look
that
up.
I don't feel like actually a thing.
So in the next song, we need to look up that and what that road's called behind you. But no, it's going to be very interesting. When do you want to start learning how to drive, Maisie?
As soon as I can afford it, really. Like, realistically. Because the type of work that I want to go into, being a driver really, like, adds to your CV.
Yes.
Because that means that you can, like, take people places. Like, you could basically be a glorified taxi and take people and objects to and from point A and B.
Yeah, there was a job that I looked at recently that I was ready to apply. I was like, yes, this is amazing. It was as a drama assistant.
Mm.
And I was like, this is awesome. And it was like £12 an hour. And I was qualified. They wanted the maximum thing they wanted. They were like, well, you know what? If you've got a drama degree, that's an added extra. We just want GCSE drama. So I was like, yes, this is perfect. And then it turned out you needed a driver's license. And that's when it hit me.
Did you not just apply anyway, just in case?
I might be doing that, actually, yeah.
You should.
It's all going to depend on timings. I'm mainly looking at jobs now going, yeah, I those are the kind of jobs that I want, but I can't go for them yet because I'm still finishing off my course.
Yeah, but sometimes if you're really, really good for a job, they will wait.
Yeah. Well, I've written down the details of the place as well, so I will contact them again.
Oh, good. So I love that this has stopped being a radio show now and it's just become a catch-up.
Yeah,
like, I haven't seen you much this week.
That's what Squabblebox is always like. We meet on a Sunday, we chat, don't see you again until the next Sunday. We live together,
we do Monday and Friday together. We
don't really talk on Monday and Friday mornings. This week we'll be in on Tuesday and Wednesday as well.
You guys will, yeah.
Yeah. Maisie's going, oh, maybe not.
Maybe not me. I might come and join you for a couple of them. It depends. Because I still haven't finished my dissertation yet.
Yes.
You guys have.
Yes.
So I need all the sleep I can get so that I can, like, properly type that all out and get my word count up.
I can see what you mean. But, you know, early starts might get you to the library earlier. You never know.
Oh, one thing I would recommend is either going to the library very early in the morning or very late at night. Because as soon as, like, 11 o'clock hits, everyone turns up for, like, a good, like, 5 hours. And then it won't start, like, teetering out again until about 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah, Well, good morning to everyone listening at home. A good morning to Tracy Edgers, who says happy Easter Sunday to everyone. She's coming up at 10 a.m. just after us, and she says a good morning to love, and it's a lovely, if unexpected, surprise Squabble Box on now. That is because last week we said we weren't going to be here.
Yes.
And I've realised I need to put it out on social media that we are actually here.
You lied to the people.
We were told that Dave Milling's Late Late Breakfast show was going to be on from 7 till 11 here on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, and we were already confused as to why it was called Late Late Breakfast, because that's an early breakfast.
We thought it was going to be a joke. We thought it was a joke.
Yeah, like
irony.
Late
Late Breakfast. It turns out his Late Late Breakfast doesn't start at 7 a.m. It starts at 7 p.m. So make sure that you stay tuned for that one.
We'll probably go through everything that'll be coming up this Easter Sunday and later on in the show. But for now, we need to go Google some things.
We do. Maisie, what song is coming up next?
This is Good Time by Owl City featuring Carly Rae Jepsen. We'll be right back after this.
Inside my head, hands up if you're down to get down tonight. 'Cause it's always a good time. Slept in all my clothes like I didn't care. Hopped into a cab, take me anywhere. I'm in if you're down to get down. It's always a good time. Whoa, 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 whoa. It's always a good time. Whoa.
Good morning, you're listening to Sunday Breakfast with Squabblebox, myself, Maisie Anderson, and the lovely Kai Valentine sitting across from me. It is Easter Sunday!
It is!
It's Easter Sunday. We've had a message in from our very own Christopher Clarkson here at Siren FM, who says, "Hi guys, loving the track so far, but what I would love to know is what your choice of Easter would be." I think he means Easter egg.
Oh, okay. So we're skipping over the whole meaning of Easter and we're going straight to the eggs.
That's what he wants to know.
Fair enough. Thank you, Chris, for the email.
Because he might be buying us some later. That would be nice.
Oh, that might be nice.
That might be nice.
I'm trying to eat healthier from today, but I've got a feeling
it's
that's not going to happen. Yeah,
it's okay.
Why did I pick today? I have asparagus in my fridge from the allotment.
Oh, from the allotment?
Yeah.
Oh, I love fresh veg.
So I'm going home for that after. But let's think about favourite Easter eggs. Lindor.
Ooh,
if you go for the posh ones.
That's really posh.
If someone else is buying, then I'll go posh.
That is cruel. No, the best Easter egg I ever had as a kid was the Powerpuff Girl Easter egg I got that came with a mug and a VHS tape.
A VHS?
My mum and dad thought it was a book, but it was a VHS tape with like three episodes on that I'd seen before. And it was the best. I loved it. I'm such a bubbles.
Now, I was always this kind of kid where I was like, no, I don't care about them. Because all the kids at school were like, yeah, I want it. And this was the same with advent calendars.
Yeah.
They were always, yeah, I want the ones with like SpongeBob on them or...
The chocolate's always really nasty though.
Yeah.
It's cheap chocolate because they had to license the cartoon characters.
I was
on the
always
front.
The kid that sat there with like... Oreo or Galaxy or something,
yeah,
you know, like
something
a proper
nice.
Brand and other brands are available.
Yes.
And I sat there going, yeah, I love these ones because these are actually proper chocolate.
See, every year I get a chocolate advent and a paper advent. Apart from the past couple of years, I've only had a paper one because I'm not fussed about the chocolate ones. They're like, I know that it's Easter, but going into like Christmas for just a quick minute, chocolate advent calendars are the worst. They are bulky, have too many components, they are difficult to open, you have to deal with the tin foil. They're always, like, after the first week, they all start repeating themselves.
And they fall down.
They fall down all the time.
I
like they make they like you can't open it quietly. It's like it rustles a lot, and then you have to like recycle the whole thing, and you don't not sure what parts you can recycle. Whereas with a paper advent calendar, you get the pretty picture. Like that's the other thing with advents, you can't see the picture. Like there's nearly always a picture like behind the plastic, but you can't see it because the plastic's covered in chocolate.
And at Christmas, you're always going to eat more anyway, so
yeah. Like I don't need a chocolate advent calendar. However, there was one year that I got a Polly Pocket advent calendar. Day what? Like first day of Christmas, you get a Polly Pocket, and then each subsequent day is a new outfit.
Oh,
it was the best. Oh, I wow. loved it.
Oh, you spoiled child.
I wasn't that spoiled.
I'm only kidding. Yeah.
This is coming from the person who says that I only get a paper advent calendar.
But one of the great things, yeah, because they couldn't afford after spending that on you. That you no. One of the great things about Easter eggs though is that you don't have any of the hassle of, you know, having to wait day by day to eat parts of it and.
Although that's what I do anyway.
With Easter eggs, you just get one sec, this is breaking. You start an Easter egg and then you don't finish it.
Not all at once.
I didn't know you people existed.
I don't like chocolate.
That's true.
I don't like chocolate that much. That's another reason why I don't like advent calendars. I'm not super into chocolate. But there was one time, it was actually, you were there. I got an Easter egg at a raffle at a panto, opened it during the intermission and yes. got told off by several old ladies.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That was at my pantomime, wasn't
yeah, that
it?
Was at your pantomime. And the thing is, the only reason I opened it was to get the, because like normally if you get a brand name Easter egg, they come with the chocolate that they're associated with. So like you get a Kit Kat one, you get Kit Kats. If you get a Mars bar one, there's normally a Mars bar or sometimes more than one. I was trying to get to the chocolate bar part because it was intermission. I didn't have any money on, like I spent all my money on the raffle, so I didn't have money to go get a drink or a snack. So in the intermission, I opened up the bottom and just took the Mars bar or whatever it was out. That's other brands sneaky. Are available. But people saw me do it and assumed that I was like hacking into the egg.
Oh wow. So Maisie, let's move away from the chocolate for a moment. How much do you know about the Easter story?
I know that everyone gets told a different thing at school. Like I've had a few conversations with people about this over the past few years. Every time Easter comes up, we always get told different reasons why the egg has become synonymous with Easter.
Now I don't know that.
Some people, I don't know what your school said, but some people's schools told them that it was because, obviously, it's the start of spring, you know, baby chicks, lots of...
I think that's what we
like,
were told.
Rabbits are associated because it's springtime, so newborn rabbits are coming up. So it's all related back to sort of regrowth, because the whole point of the original story is that it's the rebirth of Jesus Christ, therefore the rebirth of sort of the circle of life. That's
some
sort of
people
thing.
Were taught that Jesus brought chocolate eggs to the Last Supper.
Or you get what I was told at school, which is the reason we have Easter eggs is because to seal up his tomb, they used an egg-shaped rock and there were also bunnies there.
Right, that's...
I am not kidding.
Wow.
That is what our school told us is the reason we have Easter eggs at Easter.
Your school?
I know.
No wonder they had a 15% pass rate. But you were one of the lucky ones.
I was one of the lucky ones.
You
well, this
got
is
to
genius
university,
school.
Maisie. You got to university.
I just remember because there was like, we got like this picture book. And the last, like, well, not the last page, but like the page where he's being sealed up, they make it very obvious that there were bunnies there as well.
I was going to say, right, if the last page is him being sealed up, I think that kind of kills off the point of what happens at Easter, Maisie.
I'm just like, if they just start skipping that bit.
But like I said, for people who have been on listened to the show before, I used to go to church a lot from childhood. I went to Sunday school, so I was taught all of this. But my memory is very bad, so I don't want to go into the full story without, because I know that I'll offend somebody If I go into the full story, I'll get something wrong and someone will probably get offended.
Well, this is the thing, and this is the thing that, well, the reason why a lot of people do get offended is there are multiple interpretations of what happened or of what the, because different versions of, like, even from different people chronicled it differently, but then different publications of the Bible also tell it differently. Like, obviously you have children's versions of the Bible, which are simplified, which will leave out really significant details that some people might not learn later on in life. It's really interesting. But I did religious studies at A-level. So I know a little bit about, like, the really advanced scripture, but not a lot. I just know about sort of certain ones that sort of connect in really weird ways that normally some Bibles just leave out.
Yeah.
There's this whole thing about how when Jesus was resurrected, there is a scripture that suggests that it wasn't his own, he didn't have his own face.
Oh.
Like, he had a different body. Like, his spirit had been, like, reincarnated.
No, I don't want people to think I'm making a joke here, but like Doctor Who.
Yeah, like he had regenerated.
That's really strange. I've never heard
because
that one
there's
before.
Because there's a chronicle that suggests that when he first went to go see the disciples again, they didn't recognise him. Whereas if your best friend, who had just died, turned up, you'd probably notice.
Yeah.
And he had to convince them that he was the real Jesus Christ, so he showed him the scars from where he was crucified.
Oh, wow. See, I knew about the scars bit at the end, but I didn't know about the different face.
Supposedly he had a different face, yeah.
Well, what I thought, Maisie, is that we could do a bit of a refresher course on it. So during the next song,
okay.
I've got a video up. which is...
Is it my first Easter?
No, I thought it was on our level. It's on the CBBS website.
Okay, that's a good place
and
to start.
And it's the Easter story in 1 minute and 46 seconds.
Okay, so, well, this next song is about 3 minutes and 36 seconds, so we get to watch it twice.
We get to watch it twice, yay! We were swats at school.
We really were. Okay, so we will be going into She's So Lovely by Scouting for Girls right after this.
Want to have your say?
Have your 15 minutes of fame?
Or just say hello?
Hello.
Getting in touch is easier than ever. Text us on 07797800716. Drop us an email.
Siren 107.3 FM, You Are Lovely by Scouting for Girls, is that
she's
what?
So she's lovely.
She's so lovely.
Didn't you see Scouting for Girls?
I have, I've seen them.
Here
in Lincoln.
In Lincoln, in that shirt.
Lincoln-centric, here at the Engine Shed, actually.
That was 3 years ago.
Not far away from where we're sat right now. But yeah, I really enjoyed them. And we've just been watching a video about Easter Sunday in 1 minute 46.
They
it's
skipped,
a beautiful video.
It's a really well-made video. They skipped an awful lot of the story, though.
They did.
They
but
went
it is
straight
made,
to the tomb.
It is made for CBeebies.
It is made for CBeebies.
And it was all done in sand. So go and find the video online. I'd highly recommend it.
If that's your thing.
But it was really cool, and I was trying to say to Maisie, what should we talk about next? And she has reminded me that if we go too much into the Easter story, neither of us are very qualified to do so, and do it in a manner in which we won't say something wrong. So we're going to talk about something that we are qualified to talk about, and that's chocolate.
Well, I think less so chocolate, but more Easter egg hunts, because normally you don't hunt with the chocolate.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff in the news recently about, for example, Cadbury's.
Poor Cadbury's got in trouble.
Yeah, do you want to explain that?
The reason they got in trouble is because Cadbury's tend to do... Easter is a big deal for them.
Yes.
It's a huge time for chocolate sales, so they tend to make a big deal out of Easter, and they did an Easter egg hunt. They called it an egg hunt fun day or something like that. And people got really upset that they left out the word Easter because it was because they were suggesting that, sort of, that they're trying to capitalise what is traditionally a religious holiday and remove the religious element in order to sell more chocolate so that people who aren't religious won't get offended. That wasn't the case. What actually happened was most of their advertising had the word Easter in. It was just that this one piece of advertising didn't. And that's when people got upset.
Yeah.
So it was only in one or two places where it actually didn't say specifically that it was an Easter hunt. But for the most part, every other form of advertisement they used did.
It's an interesting one, definitely. And from a business point of view, you can see why they'd want to capitalise on...
They already have.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a bit late for that.
I think they've really pushed the... That's like stepping over the line. They've been teetering on the line for a little while of, you know, making money off of a religious event. And now they've sort of teetered over that line and gone, oh, yeah, that's a bit...
What are the origins of Easter eggs? That's something we should probably look up. Because I'm curious, like, which was the first company to go, eggs? Eggs made of chocolate. That's what we're going
to
do.
Well, according to your school, Maisie, it was...
it was the very first Good Friday.
It's from pagan festivals and Christianity to bunnies and chocolate eggs. This is an article that I've found on abc.net.
Mm-hmm.
On Easter Sunday, a bunny will deliver chocolate eggs to many households across Australia. Just across Australia,
just
apparently.
Across Australia.
No, this is an Australian website.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered how this seemingly bizarre tradition came to be? Well, it turns out Easter actually began as a pagan festival celebrating spring in the Northern Hemisphere long before the advent of Christianity. Since prehistoric times, people have celebrated Wow, those are words I can't say. The intricacies, shall we say, of sacred times, and the spring is the day where the amount of dark and the amount of daylight is exactly identical, so you can tell that you're emerging from winter because of daylight and the dark have come back into balance. I'm still trying to work out where eggs come into this.
I'm guessing it's the circle of life situation. I just want to know who made it into chocolate.
Spring festivals with the theme of new life and relief. So it's the new life thing that we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Now, where do chocolate eggs come into this? During the Middle Ages, people began decorating eggs and eating them as a treat following Mass on Easter Sunday after fasting through Lent.
Ooh, and then I'm guessing they just slowly became...
Well, that's where it started.
So they went from being savoury to being sweet.
I remember... decorating eggs for
I love
Easter
decorating
Sunday.
Eggs.
Did you do it for Easter Sunday or was it just for fun?
We did it at school. We did egg decorating. Like there was one year when we had a competition at my school because obviously eggs and the stone thing, very important at my school. And I nearly won a prize for my egg, but it got confused. So... they thought they got me and another girl confused, so her egg actually won, but they called my name. I made Humpty Dumpty's girlfriend.
Oh, no. For ours, we had to do a similar thing,
yeah.
Like the best egg set up. My friend did a Scotch egg, which was an egg in a kilt.
Oh, that's really cute.
I did the Eggs Factor. With a stage, we had a few weeks to work on this.
Oh, yeah.
With a stage and three eggs, sat by a judging panel and one egg on stage. And I had grey hair for Louis Walsh, red hair for Sharon Osbourne, and big trousers for Simon Cowell.
And like a square wig.
Yeah, I can't remember who won that.
I'm kind of disappointed it wasn't you. That sounds great.
The Eggs Factor. I was quite.
I like that everyone went for puns.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You've got to go punny eggs.
Yeah. But this is it. When you decorate eggs, do you do do you hard boil them, or do you suck the yolk out?
No, you hard boil. I think that's the tradition. The tradition is that you hard boil the eggs, and it's still a popular. It's still a popular tradition in Eastern European countries like Poland.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently as well.
I really want to go buy some eggs on my way home now.
We should have done that in the studio this morning.
I was planning on bringing the stuff in, but it's very messy. Like, to get proper egg dye as well.
Yeah.
Like, this is a thing that people actually... companies make this. They make special dyes for dipping eggs in.
See, people have commercialised even the...
even the most basic, like... Simple
we live
part
in
of
such
the tradition.
A capitalist world.
I know. Poor pagans. They never saw it coming.
See, we complain about it and then we'll walk home and go buy a McDonald's or something.
Yeah, Paul. Oh, do you want a McDonald's?
No.
Other fast food.
I have my
prices.
Asparagus in the fridge from the
oh,
allotment.
Yes, of course. We'll make you an asparagus burger. It'll be lovely. We'll combine your asparagus with my asparagus.
And but let's talk now about the commercialisation of it all, and the confectionery. This website goes on to say that commercialisation during the 19th century saw rabbits become a popular symbol of Easter with the growth of the greeting card industry. So
it's always down to the greeting card industry.
Damn you, Clintons and other card...
You can't say that, Kai.
Other card factory. Card factories are available. Other card...
Distributors
are available. Wow.
Kai, we're going to have to cut that.
We can cut that. We're live. Apologies to anyone who was offended, and these are the opinions of Kai Valentine and not the opinions of Siren FM, Maisie Anderson or Squabblebox. Let's carry on, though. Postage services became affordable and people wanted to keep in touch with people. This was Professor Kuzak who said this. He said card companies like Hallmark became big by launching images of cute little rabbits and Easter eggs on cards. The first edible Easter bunnies made from sugared pastry were made in Germany in the 19th century.
Ooh.
So they were the first... So Easter bunnies came before Easter eggs.
Okay, that's interesting. Does that mean that there are people alive who can remember a time before Easter eggs?
I would like to know what my grandparents remember of Easter having.
Because
like...
I can remember... I'm pretty sure my grandparents have mentioned... Because obviously, with rationing and stuff, Easter eggs, I doubt, were very popular for a very long time.
Yeah, I can imagine that, actually, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, my grandparents, like, we have a theory in my house that because of rationing, because obviously sweet rationing didn't just stop when the war stopped is it 1980? No, sorry.
No,
1948,
no.
Sorry, I'm getting the numbers mixed around. 1948, it kept going for, like, another decade afterwards.
Yeah.
So our grandparents, or my grandparents, I don't know how old yours are, had to go without sweets for like the when they were really young, and we have a theory now that that's why they have such a sweet tooth. Right now, as they've gotten older, their sweet tooths have gotten quite like sharp because they crave the sugar that they didn't have as children.
Oh, that makes sense, actually.
But that being said, it was the funniest thing that ever happened was when my grandma accidentally went into a jeweler's with a biscuit instead of the necklace that she wanted to get reset, because she had a biscuit, put it like didn't finish it, put it in a bit of tissue paper, put it in her bag with the other thing, the jewelry,
no.
And then just gave the jeweler a biscuit in a bit of wrapped up tissue.
Look at what's happened to my jewelry. Look at what's happened. It's turned into a biscuit. Can you fix this?
It was really funny, and that was what started the whole conversation about, like, shoot, this is the thing. Most people, if they didn't finish a biscuit, they don't think to keep it.
Yeah.
They would probably offer it to someone else or, like, throw it away. But no, my grandma kept it in her handbag to the point where she forgot it was there and confused it with something else.
Gosh. So after the big confectionery, after the Easter bunnies were created in Germany in the 19th century, the big confectionery companies over here in the UK, like Cadbury's, started manufacturing chocolate eggs. And Professor Kuzak said that chocolate used to be something that's bitter and drunk. And it became something that was sweetened and turned into a confectionery treat.
Yeah, because chocolate in the UK is much, much different to chocolate in other places. I think ours has more sugar in it than any other. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have more sugar. I think America has the most sugar in their chocolates, especially now because we have a sugar tax.
Yeah.
Ours is actually richer. It's like we have more bitter chocolates, which is why like a lot of kids when they come over, they don't like our chocolate because it's not got as much sugar in, because like we don't really like, obviously we make some chocolates for kids, but for the most part chocolate is more of an adult thing. I find, did you ever feel like that as a kid, like what? Chocolate was for adults?
No, I, you're talking to a kid who ate a lot of chocolate.
To be fair, yeah, I didn't eat that. I didn't, actually, that being said, I had a lot. I used to eat, this is the thing, I don't like chocolate now. I used to eat chocolate spread out of the jar.
Oh,
as
wow.
a child. I think that's why I don't have a sweet tooth now.
Never
like,
had
I over...
chocolate spread as a kid. I never had chocolate spread.
I'll get you a jar of chocolate. Oh, no, you're on a diet.
Well, I'm not on the diet yet.
I'll get you, instead of an Easter egg, I will get you a jar of Nutella. Other chocolate spreads are available.
I'm not sure whether I like it, to be honest.
I found that it's nice in small doses.
Yeah.
I overate that stuff when I was a kid, though. I think that's why I don't have a sweet tooth anymore, because like, I've given myself a lifetime's worth of sugar in my adolescence that I don't need anymore.
Yeah, that's true. But we are talking all about Easter today for Squabblebox Sunday Breakfast. It's our Easter special, and we're going to carry on talking about that for the next hour and 8 minutes or so. We are here till 10 a.m. until we hand you over to Tracy Edges, our very own Sunday girl. She's got a great show lined up this morning, so make sure that you stay tuned for that after we finish right here on Siren FM. We're going to go into a couple of songs now before your news update at 9 a.m. Maisie, what's coming up?
This is No More Sad Songs by Little Mix, featuring Machine Gun Kelly. We'll be right back after the news.
Hey, your eyes wide shut. No more.
I keep trying, nothing's working. I still wanna know if you're alone. I keep trying to put this behind me.
I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put the blame on me. I'm only human. I do what I can. I'm just a man. I do what I can. Don't put the blame on me. Don't put your blame on me.
Hello, you are listening to Sunday Breakfast here on Easter Sunday morning with myself, Maisie Anderson, the lovely Kai Valentine. It is 9:05 in the morning and we're going to be with you until 10 a.m.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to
You can always tell when one of us is caught off guard because that's our go-to response.
Just go, yes!
You could be agreeing to anything.
Yes, we are. And we're going to be here till 10 a.m. We're talking about Easter this morning, and we've still got lots to come. One thing that I saw earlier this week was people talking about the Easter Bunny, Maisie.
Yeah, I never really got much wind of the Easter Bunny.
I was never told as a kid about the Easter Bunny. Not really, the Easter Bunny didn't bring me chocolate eggs.
No, family did.
Yeah, which is strange. Why did the Easter Bunny not come by my house? I should have had twice the amount of eggs.
Because apparently he's really busy in Australia.
That's probably true, actually, yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who weren't listening in the first hour, we were doing a little bit of research on the fly to discover where the origin of the Easter Bunny and chocolate eggs came from. Unfortunately, we were using a website that is in Australia, so most of the sort of the origin, not the origin, but most of the sort of the introduction was about Australia and Australia's traditions.
So I want to talk a bit about the Easter Bunny because I don't really know where it came from. Apparently, it originated in Germany.
That makes sense. Germany do tend to start an awful lot of traditions that become anglicised.
Apparently, it was the Easter Hare, and it originally played the role of a judge, evaluating whether children were good or disobedient in behaviour at the start of the season of Eastertide.
Ooh, interesting.
So that's it. I never knew that before.
See, the Easter Bunny doesn't seem to have an awful lot of power. Like, Santa has a lot of power. Santa can fly, Santa can tell if you're good or bad, he's apparently omniscient, he can see everything at once.
Santa has more power than Jesus at this point.
Hey, we don't know Santa's full story, but the Easter Bunny was literally just like a glorified postman.
Yeah, I can see what you mean there. I mean, but it's a bunny. It's a talking bunny.
Is he a talking bunny?
I don't know. I've never met the Easter Bunny, so I don't know. But in legend, the creature carries coloured eggs in his basket, candy, and sometimes also toys to the homes of children. And so, as such shows similarity to Santa Claus, is what this website is saying as well. But yeah, I think it's really interesting that we've sort of taken on the Easter Bunny, and but then some places don't. It's one of those things where, because let's look at Christmas, for example. We're going back to Christmas. Even though it is a religious holiday, traditionally Christian holiday, You kind of sit there, and Maisie's shaking her head already.
It's a pagan thing, but never mind.
I know, but what I'm saying is it's considered to be a Christian holiday.
Yeah, in modern society, it is a Christian holiday first and a conglomerate thing second.
But, for example, you are not a Christian.
Myself? I'm quite happy to say that, no, I don't affiliate myself with any religion.
However, do you celebrate Christmas?
I do.
So even people who are non-Christians do celebrate Christmas?
Yes, because it's a pagan thing.
However, are you pagan?
No.
You see, that's my point. You've made my point then. So you are not a Christian, you celebrate Christmas, but when it comes to Easter, not everyone celebrates Easter either. Then again, there's normally some good deals on Easter eggs.
Tomorrow I'm going shopping.
Oh, so am I. I think we're gonna clear up the local stores.
Nearly buy you an Easter egg. If I had more time this weekend, I would have bought you one.
If I had any money in my bank account, I would have bought you an Easter egg too.
But the thing is, then I thought I'll get you one, and then I thought, but if you can't get me one, then you're gonna feel really guilty.
Yeah, that's the thought that went through.
Nobody wants to be in that position.
So we're talking all about the Easter holiday today, and you can get in touch. Let us know your favourite things. Let us know how you're celebrating or how you are spending your Easter Sunday by the email studio@sirenonline.co.uk, the Facebook fan page Squabblebox, or the Twitter @SirenFM. Sorry, my voice is going. I've been losing my voice on air quite a lot recently.
You have indeed, but you can don't forget you can also text in on 07797 800 716, or send a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Shall we go into another song?
We should indeed, and this is one that you've requested.
Yes, it's a brand new song. It was released on Friday from her new EP Magnetize. This is Emma Blackery with Maisie.
Yeah, this is Nothing Without You. We'll be right back after this. We'll be right back.
Cause if I make the same mistakes again, I wish I could take my time and show you.
Listen to Siren FM wherever you are.
In Lincoln, tune to 107.3 FM or hear us around the world on sirenonline.co.uk or even via your mobile phone.
Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. You're listening to Squabblebox, your Sunday breakfast show, right here on Siren FM. It's an Easter Sunday special, and we've been talking all about Easter Sunday this morning, including all about the chocolatiers. Chocolate, and there are plenty of chocolatiers on the Lincoln High Street.
Especially up the steep hill.
However, we were going to go into a bit of a second, can you believe that now, because there's been an announcement this week about Lincoln High Street winning or being named in the top amount of an award. Maisie's sort of mouthing words to me.
Should I explain it since I have the article in front of me? So this is according to ITV.com, but 2017's Britain's Prettiest Streets have been revealed, and our very own Steep Hill in Lincoln has been awarded number 5 in the list.
Wow.
It has.
The 5th prettiest street in Britain.
It has indeed. The top that came before it, number 1, the Shambles in York.
Oh, yes.
Number 2, the Royal Mile in Edinburgh. 3, the Circus in Bath. And number 4 was Waterside in Southern Lane in Stratford-upon-Avon.
Well, you know what? I'm happy to be beaten out by York.
Shambles,
the Shambles is a gorgeous place.
Every town has a Shambles, doesn't it? Huddersfield has a Shambles.
Yeah, but not like York.
Ours isn't a traditional Shambles. Ours has been done up.
York have theirs still intact.
Yeah, see, I looked at the picture because obviously the article comes with pictures, and if you want to take a look, they are really well done. They're lovely some lovely photography. The Shambles in York look very similar to Canterbury.
Ah, right.
Which is quite strange.
Have you never been to York?
Oh, yes, I've been to York. It's been a while. Last time I went was when I was in college on a school trip.
Yeah, I went with school to the York Minster.
It was the year... Do you remember the year when York flooded? Like, it was completely waterlogged. That was the weekend we went.
Oh, wow, I bet you had fun.
We couldn't go to a lot of places.
We went kayaking.
Yes. We took a gondola.
But it's amazing that Lincoln have been named in the top 5. It was only a few months ago as well that Steep Hill was named one of the top 3 steepest hills in the country as
well. I'm annoyed that, like, we're not the number 1 steep hill. But, you know, oh well, we'll have to live with it. But no, we've beaten out Norwich, Cambridge, and the likes of, like, Worcestershire.
Oh,
no, not even Worcestershire. It was Winchester. I read that wrong. Sorry. But yeah, that's just an interesting fact, because this is a list that we tend to make it on quite a lot.
Yeah.
Like, we were there, like, in 2011, which is the article that kept coming up when we were trying to find this.
Yeah.
But no, the Steep Hill's a really pretty place.
It really is. What's your favourite? I know we talked about Lincoln on our show last week, I believe, but what's your favourite part of Steep Hill?
My favourite part of Steep Hill is the rest.
I think that's everyone's.
I just love the fact that they're so open about the fact that, yeah, it's a steep hill. No one's going to get to the top of it in one go. Here's literally the rest. This is where you stop. And there's a bench.
There is two meanings to it as well, because there is the rest, where it means you rest here, but then you get there and you go, huh, look, there's the rest of it.
I think one of my favourite things to do, and this is something me and my friend did last weekend, was go up Steep Hill and take a look in some of the vintage stores that are up there. Because they have some really nice stuff, and I bought a hat. And you know I'm very proud of my hat.
I bought a hat, Kai, and I'm going to tell the world about my new hat.
I'm going to tell the world about my hat.
This hat represents freedom. It represents
the money that I don't have in my account.
I do think that Lincoln is such a beautiful place. And the high street especially. They've done up the high street as well down the bottom. So now it's looking even greater. And when you see how many people are on that high street as well. And Siren FM is actually played in many of the high street stores. We were chatting about this yesterday with our assistant manager, because now we're in Poundland.
Are we?
Yeah, we're in Poundland, yeah.
I'm imagining that it must be open by now.
So you think about it. Hello, people of Poundland. No.
It's going to be really embarrassing if they're not listening now.
But that's one of the cool things is... you forget how many people are actually listening on the high street as well. There are thousands of people walking up that high street every day going into shops.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Oh, you're up awfully early for a Easter Sunday.
In fact, yeah, nowhere's going to be open at 9:23 on
Easter
Sunday.
On a bank holiday, yeah.
That's true. But if you... People who are at home, we are really happy that you are here and joining us for your Easter Sunday breakfast. We got a message in from Doreen in Huddersfield who says, good morning and happy Easter. However, I missed your first hour because I thought you were on in the afternoon.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Yeah, sorry about that confusion. That was out of our hands.
Yeah, just to quickly make a correction, we mentioned this in the first hour. For those of you who weren't listening, there was a slight mix-up with the schedules, which meant that we believed we would be on later in the afternoon. In fact, we weren't. We were going to stick to our normal time slot, and we forgot to tell anyone.
No, we put it on Facebook, and we put it on Twitter.
Did we actually?
Yes, we did.
Okay, never mind then.
Yes, we did, Maisie. We did.
We as a collective. The collective we, obviously.
But... like I say, if you want to find out more about Squabblebox, keep in touch with us and hear all the latest updates and details. You can find us on Twitter at Squabblebox, at Siren FM for the station, or Squabblebox on Siren on Facebook. And if you want to email into the show, it's squabblebox@sirenonline.co.uk.
Yes, you can also text in on 07797 800 716. Or send a message if you're listening via the Radio Player app.
Yes, you can. So, Maisie, we've talked a little bit more about Lincoln there and the High Street. And one of the great things, like I say, is that there are many chocolatiers on the High Street. And I'm sorry to everyone who's sat at home thinking all they're doing is talking about chocolate for Easter Sunday. That's because... you know, we can't talk about much.
In fact, there's not much we can talk about.
Celebrating Easter, though, Maisie. I'm going to... As you come from a, you know, atheist family, I'm going to... Oh, sorry, I've put
you
a label
that
on
was
it.
Such, you said that was such, like, hatred.
No. I'm saying as you come from an atheist family...
A non-religious family,
no,
yes.
Sorry.
non-religious
family, the... I'm guessing that, you know, Easter Sunday wasn't really a big celebration around your
only
place.
When it coincided with my sister's birthday.
All right.
Because my sister's birthday being early April, occasionally the two would intercross. But no, we celebrated Easter as children, mainly because my parents didn't want me and my sister missing out. And then as we got older, they stopped. And we were fine with that. You know, there are some things that you just don't need to push past a certain age.
Yeah.
But we had fun. We had fun with it while it was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from there.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem, though. We're adults now, so Easter break doesn't really apply anymore. Like, we're supposed to be on Easter break right now. We're here at the Siren Studio for a start.
We're here all week.
We're here all week. And as well as that, we don't really get a break because we're still doing coursework. So even whether you have written work or practical work, we're still working.
Yeah.
I know some people who are still, like, making films for their courses, and, like, it's nearly the deadline day. You guys are sort of starting to get to the...
our theatre company, yes.
Your theatre company starting to, like, do some stuff. I'm sat at home pretending to write and doing laundry instead. You know, it's not really... It doesn't feel the same as it did when we were kids.
Yeah.
I would love to, like, recapture a bit of that magic.
Yeah, yeah, I can see what you mean. And... I do miss the magic of things like Christmas, like Easter. Mm. I remember always going to church on Easter Sunday, and I used to love it. I used to love Easter Sunday because we'd have like we'd have meals and stuff like that there, and we'd go and spend time at church. I do miss going to church. It's something that I would like to. You know, if I wasn't doing a Sunday breakfast show and if I wasn't so busy all the time, I would like to find time to go and do again one day. Maybe that's something that I'll do again in my future. But for right now, we're here for Sunday breakfast here on Siren 107.3 FM. We've still got about half an hour until we hand you over to Tracy Edger's Sunday Girl from 10 a.m. But Maisie, what song is coming up next?
The next song is Bang Bang by Jessie J featuring Ariana Grande and Nicki Minaj.
Listening to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. Maisie, we're talking all about Easter this morning, and I have some 18 fascinating facts about Easter, all according to the Birmingham Mail. Shall we go into a few of them?
I would love to go into a few of them.
There's some really interesting ones here, actually. Number one, every child in the UK receives an average 8.8 Easter eggs every year, double their recommended calorie intake for a whole week. Now, I want to know...
I think I got, like, two.
Who is getting 8 Easter eggs?
Well, this is the thing. Like, me and... I'm assuming me and you as kids, we probably got, like, 1, 2, 3 max.
Yeah.
Who are the kids that are getting, like, the 16 that are averaging that out?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. And I want to know, like, who's getting 0.8 of an Easter egg?
Well, to be fair, my mum, this is the funniest Easter story that ever happened in my family. So there was one year when my mum was a teenager, I think. Her and her older sister had their Easter eggs waiting in their dining room to be brought out on Easter morning. And what ended up happening was they had two dogs, one of which, ironically called Candy, managed to make her way into the dining room, and somehow, we don't know how they did it or how she did it, managed to only eat my mum's Easter eggs.
Just my mum's. Isn't it really bad for a dog to eat chocolate?
It's really bad for a dog to eat chocolate. So they had a poorly dog, an upset child, and then another upset child because they had to tell my aunt that she had to share her Easter eggs with her sister. It's just like that dog tended to do that a lot, though. She would eat things that she wasn't supposed to. Like one year, when they put out the Christmas tree, they would put like little candy canes and sweets and stuff on the tree. And there was one morning when they went down during the Christmas season, and the dog was lying under the tree eating all of the sweets off the tree.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a really naughty dog from the stories I've been told, but at the same time, a really obedient dog because she was a border collie, which are like the easiest dogs. Well, I don't know if they're the easiest dogs to train, but like they're known to be like one of the smartest breeds, which is how she ended up getting all of the chocolate. But it was the fact that she somehow managed to tell the difference between two different types of chocolate, because that can't be a coincidence.
No.
Because like the thing is that they had like the exact same stuff. So it wasn't like my mum only had like white chocolate and my aunt only had dark chocolate. It was like literally the exact two, like everything was doubled.
Maybe your auntie trained
the Maybe dog. My auntie trained the dog and then got upset because it backfired on her. I don't know. I'm going to need to ask my aunt about that.
The next fun fact, hashtag Easter facts that we have for you today.
Oh, is that a thing?
Oh, yeah, we've used it on Twitter, so we're running with it on here. Number two, the largest ever Easter egg hunt was in Florida, where 9,753 children searched for 501,000 eggs.
Whoa. Did they find them all?
I have no idea.
Because I'm assuming, like, in Florida, I'm assuming they weren't, like, looking for chocolate eggs. They were looking for, like, the plastic ones.
Yeah, you won't be looking for chocolate eggs in Florida, else, you know, it'll be like, there's all those brown runny things on the floor.
Just small patches of chocolate.
But yeah, 9,753 children searched for 501,000 eggs.
Wait, that's more children than there were eggs.
No.
Wait, have I got my maths wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
9,000, nearly 10,000 children.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said there was
1,000.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said there was 900,000 children.
It'd be a bit unfair, wouldn't it, if there wasn't like, enough eggs per child?
Yeah, like if one child had to get, like, that would be like the majority of children didn't get at least one.
So every child got, on average, around 8.8.
Actually.
No.
Oh, no, do the maths. I want to know if it's 8.8.
Oh, I can't
no,
do
don't
maths.
Actually.
I can't do maths.
What's the next hashtag Easter fact? Oh, you've got me using
hashtag. In 2007, an Easter egg covered in diamonds sold for almost £9 million.
Not edible. Like, it wasn't a chocolate egg. It was
no,
like a Fabergé egg.
I'm presuming it's just an egg, yeah.
Ooh.
But it was covered in diamonds and it sold for almost £9 million.
I wish I had £9 million to waste on eggs.
I wish I did as well.
I don't think anyone really could turn around and say, I wish I didn't have £9,000.
9 million?
9 million even. I don't think many people would turn around and say, I wish I didn't have £9,000 as well.
That's true as well. So now, the next Easter fact is this is carrying on with the same fact.
Ooh.
Hashtag Easter facts carries on.
I love it. Part two.
We were in the first hour, we were there going, I can't believe that Easter has been so commercialised by things and we're using hashtag Easter.
Exactly.
Every hour, a cockerel made of jewels pops up from the top of the Fabergé egg.
That's the easy bit.
Fabergé egg. Yeah. Flaps its wings four times, nods its head three times, and makes a crowing noise.
How often?
Every hour.
Oh, that would annoy me.
The golden pink emerald egg was made by the Russian royal family as an engagement gift for French aristocrat Baron Odoard de Rothschild, and there's a picture of it. And
ooh.
Oh wow, yes, it's definitely not a chocolate egg, Maisie. Shall we go on to the next hashtag Easter fact?
Yes, please.
When people gorge on a chocolate Easter bunny, 76% bite off the ears first, 5% go for the feet, and 4% opt for the tail.
Really? People have done research on that?
Apparently so. Maisie, where do you gorge first when it comes to an Easter bunny?
I hate the word gorge. I nibble at the ears first. The ears make the most sense.
Yeah.
because they're the part that like looks ready to bite.
See, I was never good at eating any sort of
you don't confectionery like eating things with face.
That has a head or a face on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can't do faces, can you?
No. I mean, I'm better at it now.
Yeah, you've grown up a bit.
But as a kid, I couldn't do it. I
so you didn't
jelly
like
babies ever.
Freddos?
No.
Jelly babies don't even have proper faces, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't.
You have some really weird fears.
I do.
So do I. We're a bunch of weirdos.
I would probably go for the... I'm the kind of person that would smash the bunny.
Oh.
Chocolate bunny for people who are tuning in right now.
I'm gonna take that soundbite.
I would smash the Easter bunny and then
you break it and then nibble it.
Yeah. So then I wouldn't feel like I'm eating something that
has a face.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know when you get ham out of a packet from Morrison's and or other shops are available, when it's in the slicers, you don't think about what it looked like before.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you can't handle things with faces on, why are you still a meat eater?
Let's not go into that. Number five, with all those chocolate eggs for family, relatives, loved ones and friends, it should be no surprise that households spend an average of £75 on Easter treats every year.
No.
Spoilt children. Number six, in the US, 90 million chocolate bunnies and 91.4 billion eggs are produced every year. And at Easter, Americans also consume more than 16 million jelly beans used to fill the hollow centre of Easter eggs, and that's enough to circle the globe three times over.
That's not okay.
No.
That's not okay.
I mean, we wonder why we're all dying.
Guys!
Let's go. We're not going to go into a deep, meaningful conversation about this, but we're eating the amount of... This is just America. This is just America, ladies and gentlemen. Jelly beans that would circle... Like, jelly beans are not big. They're not big. They are tiny.
They're tiny bits of just sugar.
And America alone eat enough jelly beans... To make a line, like I've made a line out of like Smarties and jelly beans probably before. I've never made one that would be long enough to go three times the circumference of the Earth. And just America eat those. I'm sure that I'm not saying this against America, I'm sure that we are as guilty.
Mm.
And if we were on a larger scale like they are.
To be fair, yeah, you were talking about mass here.
But talking of larger scales, we're probably all going to need larger scales if we carry on with that.
Oh,
but that's
dear.
Amazing. 91.4 billion eggs are produced every year.
That doesn't surprise me too much.
And 90 million chocolate bunnies.
That doesn't surprise me too much.
91.4 billion Easter eggs. There are only 7 billion people on the Earth.
Yeah, I know. It's stupid. It's an ungodly amount of chocolate.
That's really surprised me.
It would be weird if that was just America.
Yeah. No, that is. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's worldwide.
Oh, no. That's,
not
that just America.
No!
Yeah, that's just America.
They made enough Easter bunnies and chocolate eggs.
91.4 billion eggs in the US.
They make more egg, as a country.
Yes.
They make more than there are people on the... Some people can have two.
Yeah, most people can have four. We're talking 7 billion people on the... More than four. We're talking... Around 12.
No, 7 billion.
Yeah, and they make 901...
900?
Yeah, 901
billion. I thought you said 9.
No, 900... no, sorry. 91.4. Our maths is awful. But 91.4, that's still... If you times that by... if everyone gets 10, that's 70 billion. So there is still an extra 21 billion.
This isn't assuming that America consumes these. They do send them off to other countries.
I presume so. But that's amazing.
I'm not okay with that.
No.
That makes me quite uneasy.
I think we need a song to recover, Maisie.
I think we need to take a song out to recover. So we are going to go into Sailing by Rod Stewart. We'll be right back after this.
am sailing, I am sailing home again, across the sea, I am sailing, stormy waters, to be near you, to be free. I am flying, I am flying like a bird across the sky. I am flying, passing.
Little bit of Rod Stewart there with Sailing. We are your Easter Sunday breakfast show, Squabble Box, and we're going to go into a couple more Easter facts. Hashtag Easter facts on Twitter. We were still recovering from looking at how many chocolate bunnies and Easter eggs America create every year. They produced 90 million chocolate bunnies and 91.4 billion eggs.
You said 90 billion. Is it 90 million or 90 billion?
90 million chocolate bunnies and 91.4 billion eggs. We just spent 2 minutes trying to get over this, and now we're bringing it up again.
Okay, let's just
and
move
then
on.
16 million jelly beans.
We have to move past
used
it.
To fill the hollow center of Easter eggs, and that's enough to circle the globe 3 times over. You could literally build a wall with the amount of jelly beans that is created. So let's go on to the next one, and that's the White House hosts an Easter egg roll on the front lawn each year.
What's this Easter egg roll?
This tradition was started by President Rutherford B. Hayes in 1878. An Easter egg roll. Have you never done it?
What's an Easter egg
we
roll?
We used to do it every year.
What's an Easter egg
it's
roll?
You decorate the eggs.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're hard-boiled, and then you go to the top of a hill, and you roll it down, and it's who gets to the bottom first.
So it's a race?
Without break, yeah.
Okay.
A bit like an Easter roll, you know, like
an
egg roll.
Like the cheese
roll
rolling?
A little
but
bit.
But you don't chase after it.
You don't chase after it and break your legs.
Only some people break their legs.
But no, that's a really cool fact, and I didn't know that it was started in America, that.
Yeah. I've never heard of it before in my life. Let's go get some hard-boiled eggs and just throw them. Don't do that.
Maisie realised what she said as soon as it came out of her mouth.
We do not condone throwing eggs at anyone, hard-boiled or otherwise.
Fact number 8. Sales at Easter time make up 10% of the UK chocolate spending for the whole year.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yep. And the UK's first chocolate egg was produced in 1873 by Fry's of Bristol.
Ooh.
I'd have thought it was Cadbury's, so it's quite interesting, is that one?
It is.
The next fact is the tallest chocolate Easter egg was made in Italy in 2011, standing 10.39 metres tall, weighing 7,200 kilograms. It was taller than a giraffe and heavier than an elephant. But Portugal is the home of the largest decorated Easter egg, which reached almost 15 metres in height and 8 metres in diameter when it was made in 2008. Some big Easter eggs.
That's a big Easter egg. Do they still have it? Is it still on display?
Don't know. I'm guessing that the tallest chocolate Easter egg
was eaten.
Was either eaten or, you know, taken away, because I feel like the chocolate would have got a bit, you know.
Depends. It depends. They might, if they made it in a cooled storage unit.
I think it was made out in public. I'm not sure. Not sure.
That's what a waste. This is the thing. Whenever I see these huge versions of food that people make to set records, if they don't eat it afterwards, it feels really disappointing.
Yeah. Like in Bruce Almighty, to use another outdated reference, where they make the big cookie.
I don't remember the big cookie.
It's the very first one.
But like there are tons of places in the UK that are famous for like making like the largest pies and stuff. You have to assume that they then have everyone round in the village and they all tuck in.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Let's shoot through a few more of these facts, hashtag Easter facts. In 2012, I'm going to get it trending. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
In 2012, London hosted the world's biggest ever Easter egg hunt.
I thought that was Florida.
No, apparently London hosted the biggest one.
Okay. These facts are starting to contradict themselves.
Well, maybe that was... I think the London one overtook the Florida one.
Oh, okay.
And number 12, the world's most popular egg-shaped chocolate is Cadbury's cream egg. Workers at Cadbury's in Birmingham produce 1.5 million of these every day.
Every day?
Yep, every day, 1.5 million.
Where are we getting all this chocolate? Like, this is not a very... Like, it's renewable, but not that renewable.
Because chocolate is made by cocoa beans.
Well done. Not by them, with them.
With them. So
I would like the idea of a cocoa bean, like, mixing the chocolate.
I don't know how productions work. I don't know how they create things. And because Cadbury's cream eggs, you could only get them at certain times of the year at one point.
No, in the UK, you can get them any time of the year. In America, you can only get them at Easter.
Ah, okay.
And that's one of the reasons why America is jealous of us.
One of the many.
From what I hear.
No. On Easter Sunday in Scotland and North East England, some people have great fun rolling painted eggs down steep hills. This is also popular in parts of America where people push the egg along with a spoon.
These facts are starting to repeat themselves.
There's four more left, so we'll carry... three more left, so we'll carry on. The temptation can be too much, and 43% of kids say they eat their first chocolate egg before Easter Sunday, but the average time for children to eat their first Easter egg is 11 a.m. on Easter Sunday morning.
So they're not that eager.
Now... were you told that you weren't allowed to eat your Easter eggs until Easter?
I wasn't given the egg till Easter.
Oh, okay.
So it would be in my mum and dad's room, and then on Easter morning they would bring them down.
Oh, that never really happened with me. We just sort of got given Easter eggs by people and could just eat them whenever.
Yeah, my mum is an advocate for have it on the day it's made for.
So we got three more facts to go. Almost one in five children, 19%, say they've made themselves ill by eating too much chocolate over the Easter holidays.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've done that.
The name Easter owes its origin to Auster or Aster, an Anglo-Saxon goddess of light and the dawn who was honoured at pagan festivals celebrating the arrival of spring.
Yes, we've talked a lot about paganism today.
Number 17, in medieval times, a festival of egg throwing was held in church when the priest would throw a hard-boiled egg at one of the choir boys. Oh, wow. It was then tossed from one choir boy to the next, and whoever held the egg when the clock struck 12 was the winner and would keep it. Now, at first I was like, oh, wow, this doesn't sound good. They're throwing eggs at people.
I think they played catch with it.
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't, like, lob it at him. He, like, gently threw it at him.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I get.
Some of them might have got a bit overzealous. We don't know.
So they'd throw a hard-boiled egg at one of the choir boys.
Are there churches that still do that? I would love it if there's a church that still does that.
If there is, we need to go. If you're doing that this morning, if you've won the competition, get in touch with us. Well, actually, you'll be on your way to church now, probably.
Yeah,
let us know if you win.
Yeah.
Take a baseball mitt. And finally, one more Easter fact. Hashtag Easter fact. The custom of giving eggs at Easter has been traced back to Egyptians, Persians, Gauls, Greeks, and Romans, for whom the egg was a symbol of life.
Yay! Or if you go by the law, or the rules that my school gave, because the tomb that Jesus was put in had an egg-shaped stone in front of it.
And on that note, it's time for us to wrap up today's show. Thank you for listening to Squabblebox here on Siren 107.3 FM. There's still plenty more to come here on Siren FM, including Tracy Edgers from 10 till 12 with Sunday Girl, Quirky Questions and all coming up in a few minutes' time. We then have Siren Replay, now going by the name of Sunday Afternoon with Ed Wellman from 12 till 2, Take the Stage from 2 till 3 p.m., Sorry for the Inconvenience from 5 till 7 p.m, and then this evening from 7 till 10 p.m, the Easter Sunday Late Late Breakfast Show with Dave Milling. Thank you for listening to Squabblebox here on Siren 107.3 FM. You can find us throughout the week as we're doing the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday breakfast shows this week alongside the Siren Breakfast team. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you all right back here for Squabblebox next Sunday. Stay tuned to Siren FM.